Well, good morning. I am really excited this morning that we have a special guest speaker. My father, David Crane, has been an evangelist for roughly a million years at this point and has traveled all over the world sharing Jesus Christ with people. We've had him here before. He's a fantastic communicator that's been really gifted to share the gospel with people, and I know that you're going to enjoy him today. So please give a very warm welcome to my father, David Crane. Hey, there you are.
Good morning. Am I on? Here we go. I am so glad to be here. I've been on a camping trip with the grandchildren for the last week. I am so glad to be here. Josh and I took the two boys, Jack and Will. I don't know if you know them. Surely you've seen a few videos of them. Jack is the 10-year-old. He's the sweetest kid you'd ever meet. Was voted with a really great award as a leadership award this last week in his school, and he'll probably do some wonderful great things. The little one, Will, he was voted most likely to become a dictator. I'm thinking he's a frightening little child sometimes, as sweet as he can be, but we had breakfast Thursday morning at Big Sur, and he came out to the picnic table, and he said, Super Dave, he calls me Super Dave. He says, Super Dave, I'm going to be real good tomorrow. I said, what about today? He said, I have plans for today. Does that not frighten you just a little bit? We were standing in line at McDonald's, and I'm holding his hand, and I looked down. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, Mama said if we have to sneeze, we're to sneeze into an elbow. I said, yeah, but not mine. I still got a spot right there. I'm not for sure what's growing. So he's a sweet kid, but we've had a wonderful time. Will wanted to know if he was adopted, and I told him, not yet. So we're still looking into that. Thank you for coming. I'm glad to be here. We've had a wonderful time at camp this week with the boys, and I'm really thrilled to get to be with you here this morning at Verve City Church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, if you would, to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel. And we're going to start at probably about verse number 15, chapter number 3, the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Beginning with verse 15. I'll give you a little background here. This is a story of three guys that I'm sure you know quite well. Three guys that you've heard about many times before in some manner, in some way. Three guys that took a stand for God in an awesome, total way. Three guys by the name of, help me if you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say it together, it'll help. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody said these guys were originally the real estate business, and their real names were Meshach, Meshach, and a bungalow. I don't think so. But here's the amazing thing. These boys were captured. They were captured as King Nebuchadnezzar invaded the Jews, and he took many of them to his capital to use them actually to help him run his kingdom. And these boys' names, their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And those names all had a connotation of God with them. Hananiah means God is gracious. Mishael means that God is strong and good. Azariah means that God has helped us. And so this king took them and changed their names to get them away from the things that he thought would bring them closer to their God. And he wanted to draw them into their faith of the Babylon faith. So these boys' names were changed, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King, matter of fact, you may remember Daniel. We talk about his original Hebrew name was Belteshazzar. And so I'm thinking, yeah, please change mine to Daniel, because I would never be able to spell that first one. So all their names were changed in order to knock away their background and their faith in God. So let's begin reading, if you would, the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Let me give you a little background on it. This particular king, Nebuchadnezzar, great name for a king, huh? Bad name for a middle school student, little Nebby. One day all the king's horses and men came to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, we think you're great and swell. We think you should build a golden image in your shape and form. And we could worship that. Now Nebuchadnezzar began to think, you know, if I had their worship, I've got everything about them. I control where they work. I control where they live. Now I control their worship. I'm in total charge. So the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar built this great, great image out of all the gold he could collect in Babylon. Present day, by the way, Iraq. He built the image, and here's the rules. At a certain time during the day, when the musical instruments began to play from the courtyard, regardless of what you were doing, you would stop, face the image, and worship it as God. So there's the rule. Every day when the music instruments started, you stopped what you were doing, worship the image. That's where we pick up the story. Chapter number 3, verse number 15. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, that is a jamming band, isn't it? And all kinds of music. If you're ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, that's good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace, and what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only three guys standing in the whole nation. When all the music started, when all the bowing took place, they refused to bow, they refused to bend. They worshiped the true God, the living God, and they weren't going to give him up for anyone or anything. Consequently, when three guys stand and the whole world falls down, you're kind of out there in the open. And I promise, I guarantee you, if you decide to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in any situation, you're probably going to be the low man out. You're probably going to be the one that stands out from the crowd. You'll be the one that folks will pick on. You'll be the one that folks come to and want to know your stance, which is a good thing because we then have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. These three guys took a stand. They refused to bow. They refused to bend. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you one more shot. And this is what they said. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. I think they're being very, very kind at this point. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, you majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude toward them changed, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. I've always wondered how they knew when it got to 7 times hotter. Maybe they had a tester guy. Whoa. That's about 7 times hotter. Maybe they had a gauge. It's pegging 7. It was hot. 7 times hotter. This is serious stuff here. He had it heated 7 times hotter and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the blazing furnace. Those these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound up and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was urgent. The furnace was hot. It killed the soldiers who took them up. Wow. The guys that threw them in died at the mouth of the furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and ask his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we threw tied up into the fire? I want you to get the picture. 3 guys, his opposition, throw them into the fiery furnace. It's over. It's done. No problem now. All the opposition's gone. And maybe after a bit, he goes and he looks into the fiery furnace. I don't know what the furnace looks like. Maybe he had a big door and he opened and he looked in. And there he sees Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And yet he sees another guy. A 4th guy in the fire. And this is what he said. Did we not throw 3 Hebrew children into the fiery furnace? Oh, yes, live long forever, O king, surely did. And this is what the King James Version, I love King James sometimes. It's so laid back. It says, lo. Lo. I think in a Texas version would be something like, whoa, Bubba. Whoa, I see 4 guys in the fire. And the 4th guy looks like the Son of God. Well, this is quite a few books away from the book of Matthew when Jesus is born to the sweet little Virgin Mary in, oh, little town of Bethlehem. And long before Jesus is physically born, 3 guys take a stand for God and the world sees Christ. And that's what it's all about. It has not changed since that day to this day that the world might look at us and might see the difference that Jesus has made in our lives, that Christ might be the center of all that we do. These 3 guys are walking around in the fire with a 4th guy who looks like the Son of God. Man, I've spoken to a lot of students. I know you're thinking, really? Yeah, I know. It looks, you wouldn't think it. I could have a stroke at any minute, but I still get to speak to students across the nation. And they tell me many times, well, Mr. Crane, that's the old days. Those kinds of things don't happen anymore. Let me go back to a few years ago, 1999, as a matter of fact, Columbine, Colorado. One of the biggest school shootings that we had had to date. 13 people killed by two students. 12 of them were students themselves. One was a teacher. One of the girls who was killed, her name was Rachel Scott. Her father, Daryl Scott, and I have been on the program many times across the nation at different conferences. And he told me this story. He said, 1 week before Rachel was killed, and she was one of those kids that everybody liked. I mean, she was just a loving kid. She was in the youth choir. She was a cheerleader. She went on mission trips and choir trips. Good, solid kid. And all of her friends knew that about her. And many times she was asked, Rachel, what kind of God do you serve? How big is your faith? And she had an opportunity over and over to share Jesus with her friends because of her stand. It's 1 week before the shootings, and the senior class had been given umbrellas by the teachers. Their colors are blue and silver, and these were really huge umbrellas. I mean, not those little mini things. I mean, you raise this, you could have a party with like 40 friends in the rain and nobody get wet. It's a huge umbrella. She was driving home that day after receiving her umbrella, and she took the exit for her house, and there's a guy on the side of the road changing a tire in the pouring down rain. So she got out, Mr. Scott told me, and walked over to the guy and raised that big honking umbrella. And she's standing there, and the guy's just noticing it's not raining on him anymore. It's raining out there. It's just not raining here. And he turned around to see this little girl holding this huge umbrella. And he said, what are you doing? She said, well, I saw you were getting soaking wet, and I thought I would come and help you. He said, well, thank you very much. And then she said, since I'm standing here with nothing to do, maybe I can talk to you about Jesus. The guy stood up, looked her right in the face, and said, you know what? I'd rather get soaking wet. If that's what it takes for me to change this tire with that umbrella, he said, you go on, go your way. She said, okay, I'll just stand here silently and pray for you. Don't you hate it when they do that? Just hit me with the umbrella. Don't be silently praying for me. He changed his tire as quickly as he could. They exchanged names, and boom, they left. The following week, Rachel was shot. One of her friends said she was asked by the shooter just before her death, how big is your God now, Rachel? How big is your God now? Mr. Scott tells me during the funeral that he's there that day, and the church is full of everybody from the local spots. He said all the television cameras, they were in the parking lot. They had satellites going all over the country. But they had reserved the inside of the church just for the locals. He said, I stood there beside the coffin of my daughter that day, and he said, I looked towards the back of the church, and there between the doors was this young man standing that I didn't know. He said, I knew pretty much everybody there, but this one guy I didn't recognize. He said, so God just told me to go back and talk to him. And I went back and shook his hand. He said, my name is Daryl Scott. Rachel's my daughter. How did you know her? He said, Mr. Scott, a week ago, I was changing a tire in the rain, and she stopped to help me. He said she wanted to tell me about Jesus. I didn't care to hear about it, but in the face of the events that have occurred, maybe I need to reconsider the cause of Christ. With that, Mr. Scott led this young man to Jesus in the lobby of the church where his daughter's funeral was being held. You just never know how God is going to get the glory in what we do. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said this, our God can. Sure, we believe he can. Our God will. We believe he's big enough that he will. But they go a step further. This is the thing that really attracts my heart. They said, but even if he does not, be it known, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you've set up. Their God can, their God will, we know that. But sometimes God receives greater glory in our death than in our life. And that was the case with Rachel Scott and nearly the case with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar went to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and he called out their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. It might have been Shadrach. I'd have said, no, man, you come in here. The Bible says they walked out, did not have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Their hair was not singed. And Nebuchadnezzar stood them before all the people, and this is what he said. Today I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, number one, they shall be cut into little pieces. And number two, their houses shall be made into a dunghill, because there is no God who can deliver like their God. So I've thought about these boys all my life since I've known Jesus. I'm thinking, how did they make such a strong stand for God? How did they really just put it out there? You know, you can either grumble or you can grow. You can fight against it or you can let God bring you to where you ought to be. These guys, number one, I think they really knew their God. I think they knew him intimately. I think they spent time with their God. These young Jewish boys were raised having the scripture taught to them, not only in the synagogue, but because the Jews were a kind of a nomadic people. Matter of fact, the name Hebrew means to pass over, to go over. And they passed through a lot of things, through the Red Sea, through the Jordan. They were always on the move. And these kids were taught scripture from early on. I'm going to tell you something. We're raising a generation of biblically illiterate young people. They don't know God's word because we have not bothered to teach it to them. We've shown them how to play baseball. We got them all the football stats. We showed them even the right forks and knives to use at a fancy dinner. We have not instilled the word of God in their hearts. About the only scriptures I travel across the country and I meet young people, I see, how many of you got a verse of scripture? I know one. Okay, what is it? For God so loved the world, man, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, man. John 3:16. That's good. What's another one you know? Another verse? Like as in two? Jesus wept. Moses crept and Peter fell off the back door step. I'm not for sure where those are, but I really love them. And it's amazing. We send our kids out into a world with all the evil things going on, and we've only given them one verse of scripture. It's like Barney Fife with that one bullet. Anybody here remember Barney Fife? God bless you. Three of you. God bless you. I'm glad you all showed up. Where would I be? You know, he had one bullet, but he had it in his pocket. And by the time he got it loaded, the crime was over. And John 3:16, great verse. But to stand on it for the rest of your life? Yeah. I believe with all my heart these guys knew their God intimately. And you know, the only way you're going to get to know God intimately is to spend time with him. My wife and I have been married for 50 years as of September 1st. 50. I hope it's 50. She'll be watching this later, huh? Well. Thank you. When we first got married, the style of ladies' hairdos were, it was either tall, poofy hair like Marge Simpson or really long, straight hair. And she liked the long, straight hair. So she read in some woman's magazine, Hints from Heloise. I don't know, probably the same thing as Barney 5. Thank you, 3. If you couldn't afford those big curlers to get that straight hair, you could substitute orange juice cans. See, some of you know what I'm talking about. They're still in the top drawer back in the left. So I came in one day, and she had about 12 cans in her head. And I need to be very careful at this point. I looked at her and said, honey, I couldn't look directly at her. That Medusa complex, you know, I was afraid I'd turn into a big can. I said, what'd you do to your hair? And she was so proud of herself. She said, I said it. And my response was, so what time's it go off? Never a good response to anything. But good news, we stood her over by the television and got 4 extra channels. It was great. First in-house cable we ever had. The way I got to know her is I spent time with her. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if we dated and we went out on all these dates and we spent all this time together and then we got married and then we never talked again? That's exactly the way it is with some of us in God. We fell in love with him years ago and we spent time in his word and spent time in his love, and now all of a sudden we don't even talk to him anymore. No wonder you don't stand for him. You will never be able to stand for somebody that you know nothing about. I got some great stories about her. She's got some great stuff about me, but she's not preaching today. Sweet woman. Bad driver. I came on a few months ago. She had that look on her face. She said, I scratched the fender on the car. Then she said, if you want to see it, it's in the trunk. She scratched it off. It is no longer a part of our vehicle. We spend time together, and this is what I've noticed about our love for each other. The more time that I spend with her, the more I love her. And the more I love her, the more time I want to spend with her. And the more time I spend with her, the more I love. Are y'all getting this yet? The only way you're going to fall in love with somebody and stay there is to spend time with them. People come to me all the time, young couples, they say, well, you know what? We've been married 5 years. It's not like it used to be. Well, what's the difference? Well, I don't know. Well, what did you do before? Well, we used to go out. We used to talk. What do you do now? None of that. Well, get back to it. What's wrong with you? You knew when it quit working, go back to what worked. And the only way you'll fall in love with somebody is to spend time alone with them. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew their God intimately because they loved him. I believe with all my heart, their greatest desire was to fulfill their life in him. They weren't going to grumble. They were just going to grow because they wanted to be everything that God created them to be. They wanted their life to be a testimony to those around them. What about you? Is it just easier to fall down instead of stand up? They knew their God intimately. And one other thing, and we'll be finished. I believe they knew no compromise in their stand for the Lord. No compromise. I graduated from high school in 1900 and none of your business. The same year you three graduated, all right? High school was a hard time for me. You know, there were just a lot of rules, and I'm not as good about rules as you'd think. I was sent to the principal's office one time. One of those silly things they should have overlooked. We threw a friend of ours out the window, and it was closed. And we were on the second floor, and so they sent us down to Mr. Gilbert's office. He was the principal, and this is how I remember it. He grabbed me by my shirt and picked me up off the floor and shook me till you could hear bones rattling. I mean, my feet were dry, and just yelled and spit in my face, and he said this. He said, David Crane, I think the devil's got a hold of you. I said, I do too. We just never got along very well for some reason. So I had problems with rules. I had problems with those things. But I graduated at the tail end of the Vietnam War from high school. They were still sending a few guys over, and we really didn't want to go. We were having trouble with it, and so my best friend came to me 2 weeks after school, and he said, Crane, I got my notice from the Army. It says, greetings. I'm supposed to go for a physical next week, and if I pass it, I'll go to boot camp for 6 weeks, and then very possibly I'll get sent to Vietnam. I said, man, Randy, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know. So we talked about it. He was as white as a sheet. And then he told me, he said, I've been thinking about this. He said, you know what I think? I think if I end up in Vietnam and maybe the enemy's coming after us and there's no way to win, he said, you're gonna think this is horrible. He said, but I'm just going to fall down and play dead. He said, what good would I be to my country dead? And I'm just going to fall down and play like I'm dead. And maybe I could get up later on and help those with a counterattack or help those who were hurt or injured. I'm just going to play dead. And I came to know Jesus on my 23rd birthday, 5 years after graduating from high school. And I began to study God's word just ferociously. I mean, I just couldn't seem to get enough of it. And I came to this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm thinking, wow, what if these guys had just hit the deck? What if instead of standing for God, they just did what everybody else did and fell down, and they didn't have to worship? Nobody knew their heart. And they could have gone home that night and said, Lord, forgive us. We are so sorry for not standing for you. God, please help us next time to do better so that the world might see you in us. And just like God has forgiven us over and over and over again for not standing for him, he would have forgiven them too. But you see, there's a whole nation that would never have seen Jesus. There's a whole country that would never have known the awesomeness of Almighty God. They refused to bow. They refused to bend. And God used their stand to turn their whole country to the ways of God. What about you? Maybe as you go through life this week, God gives you an opportunity to take a stand. Maybe you try doing that. Instead of grumbling about it, maybe you just try to grow a little bit. Maybe for just a little bit, we try to see what God would do and as he uses us in order to show him to the world. There's no game plan B. It's just us showing Christ to a lost and dying world. And you got to admit, if ever the world is needed to see Jesus, it would be right now. Amen. God loves us so much. He simply wants us to be all he's created us to be. We have direct access to him. You know, if you call the White House 50 times in 1 week, they will start blocking your calls. That's what I hear. If you call the governor's mansion in Texas 50 times in 1 week, they'll cut you off. But I have direct access to the King of Kings. I have direct access to Almighty God through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. He created me that I might walk with him. Your purpose, your whole reason for being here is that you might fellowship and know him intimately. He made us for that very purpose. How sad it is to know that the God of all creation who made us for fellowship with him, we've turned our back on him. And what always amazes me is the God of all creation, the God who created everything that I know of and everything I do not know of, that God wants to spend time with me. Does that not blow you away? He just wants us to know him in his fullness. Why? In order that our lives might bring honor and glory to him. As you go this week, maybe cancel the grumble part. Let's look toward the growth part and see how God might take our lives and our situations and use them to bring honor and glory to him. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time, for these people who are here. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you give us. Thank you for the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they stood for you, Father, and their stand made a difference in everything. Lord, may it be true with us. We look forward to what you're going to do because you are a loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Verve City Church Weekly Messages Podcast. To learn more about Verve City Church, including info about our church ministries and ways to get involved, visit vervecity.church. To stay up to date with our weekly messages, make sure you subscribe and leave a review so others can find our messages of hope and encouragement. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next week.